Good morning. We are truly honored with the presence of those who are visiting us this morning. As always, you are our esteemed guests, and we hope and pray that you will be willing to share your contact information with us. To our brethren, also, we welcome you. We thank you for being here this morning, as we know that it is our honor and our privilege to be able to worship our God in spirit and in truth, that as we've just sung, is truly great. If you will, please open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. Nehemiah, chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 15 and 16. Nehemiah, chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul, and in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, Father, we come before Thy throne of grace, and we give Thee all honor and all glory, for truly Thou art great. Father, as we have been seeking to provide Thee, Father, with a worship that is worthy of Thy name, Father, it is our prayer that it has been, Father, a sweet-smelling aroma in Thy presence. That, Father, everything that we have done, whether we have sung, whether we have prayed, whether we, Father, have commemorated that precious sacrifice of Thy Son through the breaking of the unleavened bread and by the drinking of the fruit of the vine, by giving us, Father, the opportunity to also worship Thee by giving a small portion of the many blessings Thou have poured upon us back, that, Father, everything that we do, that everything that we have done in deed and in word may always be for the glory and for the praise of Thy name. As we now come to this part of worship, Father, where we sit at Thy feet and we learn from Thy word, please, Father, please allow us, Lord, to focus, to put on hold the worries of this life, that we may put, Father, out of our mind for the following appointed time, those woes of life, so that we, Father, may focus only on Thee and on Thy word. And that we may understand the importance of knowing that in 52 days, Father, such a great work was accomplished. And how today, Father, that can also apply in our own daily living. Forgive us, Father, for the sins that we have committed. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the many blessings, for we pray in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have reached, brethren, the conclusion of our theme this final quarter that has been entitled Rebuilding the Spiritual Jerusalem. We have seen for the past several Sundays how the example of the post-exilic era can apply to us in nature of spiritual matters. We have reached a point where here in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, the task that had been assigned to the Jews by Cyrus, because God had designated that way, had been accomplished. Zerubbabel had reconstructed the temple, and he had rebuilt it. Ezra had been able to bring back the law and to teach the statutes to the people, correcting the pagan marriages that needed to be corrected. And now Nehemiah, brethren, in 52 days, was able to finish rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. As you've seen the title that we have assigned it, our focus this morning on the first half of the conclusion of this series is the 52 days portion of it. We must not dismiss the amount of time that the Holy Spirit is showing us here, because this is of a great, important value for us to learn from. You see, we think about the rebuilding of walls, and we always have a tendency to think that this was a simple matter. We have a tendency to many times minimize the importance of what was happening here and the difficulty of the task at hand. According to some historians, brethren, they have done some archaeological digs, and there are some who believe that they have found remnants of this old wall. And there have been stones as large as 14 and a half feet wide by 8 to 10 feet tall that they would use to build these walls on. This was at a time before there was any kind of mechanical machinery that would help them move these massive, dense stones that they would use. We have to keep in mind that this was not an easy feat because of the fact that these walls were purposely thick because they were to protect the city from another country or another kingdom trying to siege the city and overrun them. These walls were thick enough to where the watchmen could actually, several watchmen, stand on those walls and walk on them, and if need be, have archers to fill those walls from the top to shoot toward their enemies and protect them. These were not simple walls, brethren. This was not something that was thin or something that was easily fixed, like we see these brick walls that these buildings are made of. No, these were massive stones that were dense, that were heavy, and that were used for protecting the city. When we think about the fact that this was what was working on, being worked on day and night for 52 days, all around the perimeter of the city of Jerusalem. Well, this is where those who are skeptics of the Bible begin to question. And they begin to doubt and try to say, well, that's impossible. In an age where there was no type of technological advancement, how could they, with their primitive tools, achieve such a great feat at such a great speed? 52 days, how is that possible? Well, verse 16 gives us the answer, brethren. And this is why we've entitled our lesson 52 days. Because the fact that not only they were able to successfully finish rebuilding the city, the fact that they were able to do it just as God had decreed and therefore fulfilled God's commandment, but even more so, the fact that Nehemiah was able to do it in 52 days. Notice that the temple didn't require as much labor as the walls did. The bricks and the blocks of the temple were not nearly as thick or as heavy as those that Nehemiah and those working with him had to. And it took them 15 to 20 years to rebuild the temple. But then you compare it to Nehemiah, who had, without a doubt, a much daunting task. These walls, brethren, were anywhere from 15 to 20 feet in height. And we're talking about these massive blocks that they had to put on top of one another. And in comparison to Zerubbabel, Nehemiah did it in 52 days. Verse 16 tells us that this feat, this incredible and seemingly impossible feat, is what led the enemies to perceive that this work was done. And I love how Nehemiah puts it, by our God. You see, Nehemiah doesn't take credit for the 52 days and his leadership. Nehemiah doesn't attribute credit to all the laborers who were working that in chapter 3, you see, were very well organized all around the city. He does not take credit for the fact that they worked without stopping unless only to wash and to rest for a bit. He does not attribute their success to anything of the human portion of it. But instead, Nehemiah says, our enemies perceived, even those who are not part of our kingdom, even those who do not belong to God, even they had to recognize, only God can achieve such an impossible feat. Only God has the power, their God, not our God, would say Sambalat, Tobiah, and Geshem. But Nehemiah's God, Zerubbabel's God, Ezra's God, the one and only God, only He has that kind of power to get this impossible feat done in 52 days. You see, this, brethren, reminds us that what is impossible for man is very possible for God. Because I can assure you, brethren, that had it not been for God's providential hand, if the temple, which was a much simpler task in comparison to the fortified walls of Jerusalem, took 20 years, then very likely, brethren, rebuilding this fortified city would have taken a little longer than that. But the fact that Nehemiah accomplished it because of God's providential hand in 52 days teaches us, brethren, that sometimes even the most daunting tasks in our lives, God can fix them sooner than what we expect. You see, brethren, there are some amongst us who have yet to obey the gospel. There are some who are trying to dwell in the temple with walls that are in shambles. There are some who have exposed themselves to sin and exposed themselves to the vulnerability of trying to present their sacrifices to God, but they are not protected by the arms of Christ. And many are reasons why they tend to hesitate in beginning to rebuild the wall is because they have this notion that it's going to take too long and it is such a difficult task that they won't be able to get those walls up in time. But this is when we bring your eyes, friend, to realize it's not your hands that can make it in 52 days. It's God who will work through you when you let Him work. And He, through His Word and with His power, with the power of His Gospel, can and will transform you sooner than you realize you're not the same man. You see, Nehemiah, brethren, left as a cupbearer, and he arrived at Jerusalem as a governor. Nehemiah, brethren, was diligent. He did not waste time. He did not lose a moment to start putting his hand on the plow. And what we see, brethren, is that Nehemiah understood just how important this work was. And because of the great importance this job had, Nehemiah did not waste any time in putting his hand to work on the walls that required it. Please go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Let me show you something. Something that is incredibly demonstrated to us through Holy Writ that we always tend to skim over. Luke chapter 2, beginning there at verse 46. And I encourage you to go home and start reading at verse 41. But beginning there at verse 46, "Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.'" There's that word from our class again, isn't there? Verse 49. And I want you to keep in mind as we read verse 49 that these words are coming from the lips of a 12-year-old boy. "And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?' But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart." Now notice verse 52. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Now, let me make a quick parenthetical statement here. Very, very brief. Jesus wasn't baptized at this point. He wasn't baptized when he was doing this. Many times you choose not to be baptized because you fear that you won't be able to change because you have a lot of baggage to carry. But a 12-year-old child who begins in verse 41 and forward saying that he was increasing in wisdom and in stature with God and with men already had a good grasp of Scripture. He already had a good handle on God's Word. But even more importantly, even before he had been baptized at the age of 30, Luke chapter 3, beginning there at verse 21, Jesus was already fully aware of what his mission on earth was. Thus, from the age of 12, Jesus, like Nehemiah, began putting himself to work. Because Jesus knew that he had to secure man's salvation in 3 years. Jesus understood that he would only have 3 years to save man from sin. He understood that he would have 3 years to prepare Peter, who would have the keys to the kingdom. He understood that he would have 3 years to prepare the apostles who would lay the foundation of the church. He understood that he had 3 years to prepare those who would belong to his body so that the world would receive the glad tidings of salvation. 3 years is not a long time. A month ago, many of you gasped when you heard that I have been here for 7 years. And the reason of the gasp probably was because you couldn't believe I'm still here. And the other reason very likely was because of how quickly time passed. For our elders, the gasp was for how little I grew, right? But in 3 years, Jesus accomplished more, brethren. And here's the why. Because from the age of 12, he was already putting in the work. He was already preparing himself. He was already prepared mentally. He was already testing the walls of the religious leaders of the time that he was going to have to deal with. The Bible doesn't say that he was only listening, verse 46. It says that he was both listening to them and asking them questions. That's preparation. Did not Nehemiah, when he arrived, go at night and begin to examine the wall so that he would know what work was necessary? My friend, before you even get baptized, you should already be preparing yourself with the Word of God, knowing and understanding what work you're about to engage in. Because the sooner you begin to start considering how great importance this job is of being a Christian, as soon as you start examining just the level and the extent of work that your spiritual walls are going to require, instead of being afraid and intimidated because these are some thick blocks and I have to move them on my own, you should be already making a plan for yourself how you're going to get it done. Because the sooner you start thinking and working on how you're going to work on your life and how you're going to transform and how you're going to use the Word of God to become a better version of yourself, the sooner you will be successful when you rise from the waters of baptism. I truly believe that the reason many Christians fell in their Christianity so quickly is because they accept and put on Christ unprepared. Hence why the commandment of the Great Commission is teach, baptize, teach. That first teach is preparation. And the reason we have to prepare is because this is a great task that is of high value and very important. Because the sooner they begin to prepare themselves, like Nehemiah did and as the Lord Jesus Christ did, the better the percentage and the probability of being successful and being faithful unto death. Nehemiah, brethren, accomplished it in 52 days because he did not spend any time other than focus on the task, because he understood just how important it was. He understood just how great the work that they were doing was. And last week we saw why this was such a great work. Chapter 6, verse 16 confirms that his aspiration was accomplished. Even the enemies of God had to acknowledge his power and his glory. My friend, when the gospel works in you and you allow the power of God to transform your mind and transform your life, even the skeptics will have to see that there is a difference undeniable in you. Something changed. You're not the same person you were before. When that happens, like Nehemiah, be sure to say, what you are seeing and what you are perceiving is not me, but the hand of my God with me. But you see, the point is, it can happen quickly. It can happen immediately. It depends on how quickly you begin to work with God's Word in hand. If you truly know how important this task is, if you truly know the level of importance of this decision, then you have nothing to fear of not being successful in transforming. Because God's word is powerful to transform you in the instant you allow it to work. Point number two. Chapter 6 shows us, brethren, how to deal with those adversaries who are foolish and contentious. You see, Nehemiah never allowed them to distract him from such a great work. Nehemiah never allowed them to take his mind or get in the way of finishing the task that he had started. From the moment he arrived to Jerusalem to the 52nd day, Nehemiah did not become ensnared or entangled with the affairs of his enemies. He did not allow the affairs of life to distract him from what was truly his importance and his mission. He did not become involved, nor did he pay mind or an ear to those who were trying to get him to stop working. My friend, you're going to have people who are going to try to distract you. You're going to have the naysayers who are always going to bring up your past, who are always going to bring up your sins, who are always going to bring up your mistakes and how every time and everything you've done wrong. Don't become distracted. Keep yourself focused on work. Keep your focus on rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Keep yourself focused like Nehemiah did, because it is such a great work. And don't get distracted. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice what the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, counsels his young apprentice. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible tells us the following there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the cross. Consider what I say. Amen. The Lord give you understanding in all things. It's beautiful how the Bible shows us the hand of our God always present in our lives. But notice, brethren, the counsel that the Apostle Paul is giving the young Timothy. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Do you understand, friend, what that means? Brethren, do we understand what this means? You know, something extraordinary happened yesterday. Sorrow was transformed to joy. Brother Brown understands what I'm saying. Because we both looked at each other, and with the look, we communicated each other at the beginning, but then with a different look, we communicated with each other at the end. It started with sorrow because there were 6, maybe 7 of us here yesterday. But we didn't become distracted by the few numbers that came to go and plant the seed of the in the kingdom. Because even though there were 6 or 7 of us, when we got back, it turns out we were very triumphant and very successful in the work that we did. We did not get distracted by the lack of support and by the disobedience to the Great Commission shown yesterday. We focus on being the obedient and going and spreading the seed. And we were reminded of how the world was transformed by 12 men. It's not about the number. It's about the quality of those who come to work. And if there's something I can say is, those who were here yesterday, we all came to work, no matter how cold it was outside. We did not become entangled by the disheartening in the beginning. Instead, we focus. I'm here, and I'm going to put my hand to the plow. I'm not going to get entangled by my emotions. I'm not going to become entangled by trying to answer why. I'm not going to become entangled by their discouragement. I'm going to work. I came. I am going to put my hand to the plow. Nehemiah didn't get entangled. Well, why does Sambalad want to stop this work? Samuel, let me talk to you for a minute. Why? Why are you against this? What? Tell me, talk to me. Why are you so against this such great work? Doesn't matter. You have nothing to do with this Sambalat. You have nothing to do with this Tobiah. You have nothing to do with this Geshem. He is not your God. He is our God. And this is our task. Many times, brethren, we become so entangled with wanting to understand false religions and false doctrines. We should be more focused on understanding the truth, the one and only truth. And that is enough. We don't need to understand the why. We need to understand the who. And we need to focus on Him and be co-laborers of His. Because when we begin to get entangled, we forget that we're caught in a warfare. And there's nothing more dangerous than a distracted soldier who gets caught off guard by his enemy. Nehemiah, brethren, did not allow himself to become entangled or ensnared by his enemies. He did not allow himself to become distracted by the affairs of life. He was focused on the one and only fact. This work is too important to cease. I can't stop now. I have to see it through. I have to make sure that this is finished, and it is finished right. Our salvation, brethren, is too important for us to stop running the race now. It is too important for us to get distracted and to trip and fall to our deaths. We cannot stop running now if we've already started this race for salvation. Because the crown of life is only an arm's length away every step we take. Every step we take, it's only an arm's length away for me to be able to grab it, to never let it go. Nehemiah accomplished this in 52 days, proving to us why we should always focus on how important this work is. Proving to us why we should not allow the affairs of this world to entangle us, to distract us from the importance of this. But you see, we mentioned last week that these walls, from the literal standpoint, and we mentioned it a few minutes ago, were to protect the city from their enemies. It was a layer of defense. What this shows is the urgency of doing this. Because the entire time that they were there, the entire time from when Zerubbabel arrived to when Nehemiah arrived, which was approximately 92 years, they were left vulnerable for their enemies. This was an urgent matter that needed to be taken care of. They were exposed to danger. My friend, the entire time that you have been living without Christ, you are exposed to danger. You are in your most vulnerable state. You are trying to enter His temple, but for you, your walls are in shambles because Christ does not protect you. And therefore, it is an urgent matter that you have to remedy now. My brother, my sister, if you and I have fallen into sin, if we have become entangled with the affairs of this life, if we have loved the world and the things that are in the world, and like Demas, we have forsaken Christ because we love the world, our walls have been breached by sin. Our walls have been brought down by Satan, by our own lusts. And it is urgent for us to rebuild. It is urgent for us to get back and to rebuild and stand in the gap. Because the longer we remain with that breach unattended, the more volatile and dangerous our situation becomes. Please turn with me to the letter written to the Hebrews. Letter written to the Hebrews. Let me show you, my friend, let me show you, brother or sister, just how dire this is. Chapter 4 of Hebrews. Beginning there at verse 1, remember that in chapter 3, and again, I encourage you to read this back home, verse 19 ends with the problem that was found that none of those who came out of Egypt, the first generation, were allowed to enter into the rest. Chapter 4, verse 1 picks up from this. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seems to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we have believed, do not enter the rest that he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today. That's urgency. Today. After such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, Nehemiah brought their negligence to foresight. Do you not see? Do you not see that our walls and our gates are burned with fire and they have not been repaired? He urged them to work. Why are you still sitting here as if nothing's going on? As if you finished the work? There was urgency behind Nehemiah's plea. And that urgency is manifested in the fact that in 52 days they got it accomplished. They accomplished building a wall 14 and a half feet thick. Probably 20 feet tall. All around a perimeter of approximately anywhere from 5 to 7 miles. In 52 days, because that's how urgent the situation was. My friend, don't you understand that if you die without Christ tonight, you will be lost forever? Do you understand how urgent your situation is? Do you really understand the danger, the peril that your soul is in right now, and every day you choose to harden your heart when you hear his voice? Your walls have been breached by your sin. Why aren't you rebuilding them? This is an urgent matter, friend. My brother, my sister, why do we continue in sin? Why have we not repented? Why have we not turned away from sin to rebuild and restore what we, through disobedience, damaged? Do we understand the urgency of our situation? Holy Red teaches us that in the wilderness, they heard the gospel, but they did not obey it. Once again, verse 6 and verse 7 teaches us that it is through disobedience. He's talking about the people of Israel, those who had already been baptized in Moses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Those who had already crossed the Red Sea to salvation, those whose bonds had been loosened. Of these, which is the foreshadow of Christians today, is that it is being said that they did not enter God's rest because of disobedience. Which shows that there was no repentance. There was no effort to rebuild the damages that they had caused to the relationship with God. So this morning, my question to us as Christians is, are we going to enter his rest? Or are we not standing in the gap that our sin breached? Luke 13, 1 through 5 warns us of this, and it's the Master's voice itself. I say, nay, lest you repent, you shall die in your sins. We are left vulnerable, brethren, when Christ is not our wall of protection. When we don't keep Christ on and we take him off to put on Satan, we are no longer wearing tunics that cover our shame, but we go back to fig leaves that cannot even cover us from the breeze that will make us sneeze and cough. We have to rebuild these walls, and we have to be diligent in doing so. We have to make sure that we rebuild them as quickly as possible. We have to imitate Nehemiah and get this resolve in 52 days. Because in chapter 6 of Nehemiah, in fact, from chapter 4 to chapter 6 of Nehemiah, they were already preparing armies to go and attack them. They were trying to destroy them. Because they saw, the enemies of Nehemiah saw, we're not going to be able to bribe this man, we're not going to be able to intimidate this man, and we're not going to get him to change his mind or stop working. We have to kill him. We have to get rid of him. Brethren, when we set our mind on things heavenly, and when we become convicted and we determine, I am going to get myself to heaven, no matter how difficult and what it costs me, there are going to be those who are going to try to prove just how dedicated we really are. There are going to be those who are going to test just how thick the walls are that we are refuged in. But lest we build upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Ephesians 2:20, many times those walls, brethren, will be the very thing that kills us. Because Christ told Simon that upon anyone whom the rock falls upon, it will grind him into powder. Are we understanding the urgency of what we've been studying this past quarter? Why it is urgent to rebuild the spiritual Jerusalem? Why it is time for us to see that our walls and our gates have been burned with fire. Fire of doubt, fire of negligence, fire of sin. We have to rebuild now. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. These aren't my words, folks. These are the Holy Spirit's words. They apply to me as much as they apply to you. We have to put our hands to the plow, and we have to work day and night on our salvation with fear and trembling. But it can be done. It can be done in 52 days. What to us may seem impossible, to God is not. And it's about allowing him to work through us. And then even our enemies will perceive that it was by the hand of God that we were able to rebuild our lives so quickly and in a much better state than what it was before. So the question this morning is, do you understand that this is urgent because it's a great and important work for you to engage in? Do I understand just how important and how urgent rebuilding my spiritual Jerusalem truly is? There's no way I can answer that with words, because Nehemiah answered these questions by his work, by accomplishing it in 52 days. That's how quickly we can make ourselves into the children of light that we should be. Thus, my brother, my sister, I want to start with you this morning, because you and I as Christians, when we fall in sin, are in a much more precarious situation than those who have yet to put on Christ. Remember that Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that if we do so, we are neglecting a great salvation. Have your walls been breached by sin? By lack of self-control before temptation, have your walls been breached by an unwise decision that led to sin? We can help you rebuild this morning through prayer. We can help you get back up within 52 days, metaphorically speaking. But you have to be willing to let us work together. We have to work as a team, because the people under Nehemiah's guidance worked together as one man. Nehemiah didn't do it by himself. They, as a nation, did it, and God did it with them in unity. The same is true today for you, brother and sister, for me. But for you, my friend, until you choose to put on Christ Jesus in baptism, until you choose not to harden your heart and to obey the gospel call of salvation this morning, you have no part in this work. You have no part in the reward that comes from this work. And therefore, because you continue in that state of disobedience, you are no different from Sanballat, Tobias, or Geshem. But that can change this morning. You can become a part of the body of Christ this morning by obeying His gospel in the waters of baptism. You see, we don't add anybody. We don't have that power. We were added by Him. And the same Christ who added us to His body is here today and wants to add you to His body. The same body we were added to. The same body the apostles were added to. The same body that in the first century Christians were added to. But the process is the same. You've heard the gospel call. If you've believed it, you then have already started transforming, changing, known as repentance. All you need to do now is confess. That leads with your mouth, that leads to salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And then when you've confessed before men, you obey the gospel by being baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in accordance to the Great Commission. Acts 2:38, Matthew 28:20. And then you will rise to a newness of life, to where you are commanded to be faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. That is how quickly your walls can be rebuilt today. That is how even your enemies will perceive that the hand of God has worked in you. Don't you want the gospel to rebuild your walls this morning? Don't you want Christ to be your defense against sin and the world? If there's anyone subject to this invitation, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.